We pray. Heavenly Father, we are weak, but you are almighty. We are so easily confused, and yet you hold all wisdom. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring, but you have a plan to prosper us, dear Lord, and not to harm us. Guide us ever onward, dear Lord, through the power of your holy word, that word that has claimed us to be your own. So, dear Lord, feed us and enlighten us and keep us safe in your grace now and for all eternity. In Christ our Lord, amen. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, when Franklin Roosevelt signed the Declaration of War against Japan in 1941, instantly there developed a powerful and electric fervor in America to go to war, to sign up. All throughout the states, people quit their jobs and quit school and enlisted in the military. The story is told about Chuck. Chuck loved his parents deeply, and they him. His father was truly his best friend. In whatever sport he went on out for, in all the history and math assignments that he struggled with in school, in every factory job that he took on, there was his father right by his side, cheering him on, renewing his hope, and doing everything he could to see that his son Chuck succeeded. Well, it came that day when Chuck's heart was swelling with pride as he decided he was going to enlist in the Marines. He went home that night and told his family around the supper table. He was hoping that his father would get excited and embrace this mission and be proud of him that he was willing to join the Marines and fight for his country. But his father slammed down his fist, screamed at Chuck, "You're doing nothing of the kind," and he bolted out of the room. Chuck was startled. He thought signing up for the Marines was the most honorable and loving and patriotic thing he could possibly do with his life. Chuck's father thought that him signing up for the Marines was a certain death sentence, and he wanted nothing to do with it. Chuck was so shocked at his father resisting his plans and trying to get him to stop that he found tears welling up in his eyes. I wonder if those same tears welled up in Jesus' eyes as he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." War was coming. From the beginning of time, the world had been waiting for this battle. The warriors were drawn up on the battlefield. There would be blood spilled. Satan marshaled all of his troops and pulled out all the stops in order to defeat Jesus. All the demons from hell were hunting down humans to possess them and terrorize them. The Son of God had taken on human flesh. He had lived that absolutely perfect life to fulfill all of God's laws for all people. Now came the time for battle. Jesus was going to crush Satan by allowing himself to be crushed. He was going to defeat that ancient foe by allowing himself to be killed. He was going to pay for our wicked rebellion by pouring out his blood in punishment for our sins. As Jesus laid out this plan for his disciples as to exactly what he was going to Jerusalem to do, Peter stomped his foot, snorted in disgust, and cried out, "Never, Lord, never shall this happen to you." Jesus did not take Peter's words kindly. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the thoughts of God, but the thoughts of men." Jesus rejects those who reject his sacrifice. And it is shocking that, of all people, Peter, the star disciple, should be trying to trip Jesus up like this. He wasn't trying to be an obstacle, but Peter was putting his preference, his will, his pleasure ahead of Jesus' mission. Peter's know-it-all attitude made him an agent of Satan, not a disciple of the Lord. Jesus threw Peter behind him as an enemy. When might Jesus throw us behind him as an enemy and say, "Get behind me"? Well, there's a movement in the Christian church, a plan that we're only going to talk about Jesus' death and resurrection one weekend a year when we absolutely have to. And there'll be no mention of sin or our need to be redeemed, purchased back from that sin. No, instead, people in the Christian church often want to recast Jesus as being some guru, a wise man, to help us know how we are to live our life to the fullest here, how we are to help remake society so we can cure all of the ills in our land. Satan is the author of social gospel. Or maybe we are threatened to be thrown behind Jesus when his bloody sacrifice is met in our heart with cold apathy, with yawning indifference, "Oh yeah, so what?" Or with a blatant unwillingness to look at our wretchedness and the pain it took to rescue us. Jesus will say, "Away from me, I never knew you." May that never happen, that we become the agents of Satan because of our know-it-all attitude. We want a Savior on our terms. Jesus' desire for Peter and for us is a new heart, a different heart. That every day we say, along with the tax collector in the temple, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Or that we sing with the angels of Bethlehem, "Glory to God in the highest." Or we praise God with the children on Palm Sunday, "Oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Rejoice and be glad. Our Savior Jesus has defeated Satan. He's won the battle and broken Satan's grasp around our neck. Jesus wants us each and every day to live a life filled with repentance over our sins. Trust that his blood truly does cover our sins and makes atonement. And a heart that prays day after day, "Lord, your will be done through us and in us." Did you notice how quickly Jesus turned the conversation? From challenging the disciples to accept Jesus' mission for himself, to now them accepting Jesus' mission for them. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Jesus tells us that we need to follow him. He doesn't follow us. And so in a whole different way, Jesus can tell us, get behind me. It's like, follow behind me. Get in rank and file and follow where I'm going. And so we follow behind Jesus in a life of sacrifice. Notice, Jesus didn't say, take up your pillow and follow me. No, he said, take up your cross and follow me. An instrument of torture and death. That doesn't go so well with our old sinful nature, does it? By nature, we don't want to be persecuted. We don't even want to be laughed at for the sake of being a follower of Jesus. By nature, we avoid all pain and that whole idea of losing our lives as for him, as he lost his life for us. We want to put miles between us and that thought by nature. By nature, we do just the opposite. We're tempted to go places where we know we will fall into sin, to laugh at raunchy jokes and perhaps even make a few of them ourselves. By nature, we want to blend into the world, adopt a mindset of me first, dog eat dog. Or if it feels good, do it. What's the difference? By nature, we stand in the shadows of silence instead of speaking God's word and standing up for Jesus. Perhaps we've found that this world isn't so hostile to God simply because we're so friendly with the world. If we haven't been willing to follow Jesus all that closely, oh, I'll follow Jesus, but let's put a couple miles between you and me so no one can detect I'm really following you. If we really want to follow, but from a distance that's safe, well, Jesus reminds us that he paid for these sins as well, in all the ways and forms that we have been embarrassed of him and not willing to be called his children. He turns to us and says, I've forgiven you. Come. Come behind me. Come up close that I may put my arm around you and follow in my path. Get behind me in love and in devotion. They persecuted me, Jesus said, for bringing salvation, and so they will most certainly persecute you for declaring salvation. The one who attacks us hardest, however, is our own sinful nature. Try and say no to your passions and your desires and see what's happened. Oh, your sinful nature will spit right in your face. How dare you deny me my lust, my greed, my anger, our sinful nature says. Then we need to recite for ourselves Jesus' words. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me will find it. What will we have gained if we have everything this world has to offer, but we spend eternity in hell? That's a losing proposition. Jesus would not let himself be moved, not by Peter or anyone else. He was determined to fulfill his Father's will and save people from their sins, to purchase a home in heaven through his holy blood. We need to be unmovable in our love and in our devotion to live for Jesus and to die for Jesus. The story is told of Chuck. He enlisted. He went to war. And all of a sudden, the glamour of his bravery quickly failed as he spent months in a foxhole in the dead of winter with bullets whizzing over his head. He saw the horrors of war as his buddies lie wounded and bleeding out just mere feet away from him. Chuck realized why his father did not want him to enlist in the Army, in the Marines. But Chuck, nonetheless, never regretted enlisting and fighting for his country, for he realized there are some things worth fighting for that are even more valuable than life itself. Nothing is more worthwhile to live and die for than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through that good news, we are taken home to heaven. And through sharing that good news with others, they come to faith and join us in an eternity of paradise. Oh, that we might spend and be spent all for the holy and good purposes of our Savior. In these dark end times, let us make up our minds to get behind Jesus, to follow him and serve him ever closer each day, no matter what the cost. May Jesus never say to us, "Get behind me, Satan." May we live in his grace and live for his glory each and every day until life everlasting. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, give us strength for a new life. Fill our hearts with your love and devotion. Give us that light that shines ever onward into all of our tomorrows, that we might walk in a way that is pleasing to you. Guide, guard, and defend us against all of Satan's attacks, and may we sing your praise here in time and forever in paradise. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.